Well, good morning to all of you. I mean, sorry, good evening to all of you. I have a little sharing here titled Prayer Can Change Your Life. And we all know, I've been in the around the word for years and years, and some of you have too. But our young kids, not so much. But prayer, for sure, has definitely helped us along the way. So prayer can change your life, and I'd like to start in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And this is what we can do. And this is something that he, I don't know how God put this in here, but he does. So he talks about the armor of God, putting all the armor of God on. And then in verse 18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So you put on all the armor, but you don't go out shooting anybody or anything. You pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And we know praying in the Spirit is speaking in tongues, but we can also pray with our understanding, so it's wonderful. But prayer is so powerful. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And in verse 4, we'll start in verse 4, Philippians 4, 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious, be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, verse 7, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, if you can explain that, you're better than me. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What a great benefit when you pray. Go to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. Chapter 4, Colossians 1, verse 1 says, masters, and I'm sure that masters can also mean employers. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. And who is our master in heaven? Well, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, continue in prayer. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all, verse 3, verse all, praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. So continue in prayer. That's one of God's encouragements to us, is continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Unbelievable. And you can, while you're praying, you can also, like it says, pray for that the word moves. Pray for others to help move the word. What a wonderful truth. So let's go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, here's one of my favorite little sections of the word when it comes to prayer. Maybe because it's short. Chapter 5, verse Thessalonians. Verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So if you want to know the will of God, there it is. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You don't have to ask the will of God. What's the will of God? What does he mean? What it says right here, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. 1 Timothy. Go to 1 Timothy. Chapter 2. Verse 1. Says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, prayer, supplications, prayers, intercessions, excuse me, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. So to pray for, excuse me. All right. So to pray for this country's leaders, says here in Timothy, we can lead a quiet and peaceable life when we pray for our leaders. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. So we're doing the will of God when we're praying. And when we pray for leaders in our country, and how about leaders in your family, leaders in your church, you know, maybe we want to lead a quiet and peaceful life. So that's another great benefit of praying. In Proverbs chapter 15, Psalms, Proverbs, you might beat me over there. I'm not very fast with my big fingers. Proverbs 15, verse 8. And it says in Proverbs 15, 8, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The prayer of the upright is his delight. And when he hears his people pray to him, he is so delighted. Especially his children. When he hears his children speak in tongues, when they pray to him with understanding, when they just come up to him and spend time with him on his lap, he is so, so blessed. It's his delight. We are his delight. What a wonderful thing. Now, I'd like to share a little bit out of this book. It's called Prayers That Changed History by Tricia Goyer. And she writes about different people that were strong prayer warriors. And I'd like to share about somebody, perhaps you've heard of him, George Mueller. Some of us know who he is, maybe some of you don't. But George Mueller, his prayer life was awesome. And I'm going to read a little bit and maybe you'll catch on. George Mueller. He lived in from 1805 to 1898. So it's back a few years. And here's what it says. George Mueller stood at the bow of the ship. He was headed to Quebec, but the ship had hardly moved. The thick fog surrounded him, making progress impossible. It was a cool August day. George knew the number of days still left in their voyage. He also knew that at this rate, he wasn't going to make his schedule. 24 hours had passed since they'd come to a standstill. George approached the bridge to talk to the captain. The captain glanced up at George as he entered. Weariness creased his face. "Captain, I have come to tell you that you must be in Quebec on Saturday afternoon." The captain slowly shook his head. "It's impossible." George. George straightened his stance. "Then very well, if your ship cannot take me, God will find some other way, but I have never broken an engagement in 57 years. Let us go down into the chart room and pray." The captain glanced over at George as if he'd lost his mind. But George knew that prayer wasn't just a nice idea. It was the answer to their dilemma. "You know how dense this fog is?" the captain finally asked. "No," George replied. "My eye is not on the density of the fog, but on the living God, which controls every circumstance of my life." George knelt down and prayed simply, asking God to lift the fog. He finished, and the captain opened his mouth, but George put a hand on his shoulder. "As you do not believe, he will answer. And as you do not believe, he will answer. I have believed, he has. There is no need for whatever for you to pray about it." The captain's eyes widened. George offered him a smile. "Captain, I have known the Lord for 57 years, and there's never been a single day when I have failed to get an audience with the king. Get up, Captain, and open the door, and you will find the fog has gone." There was no wavering in his voice. George spoke with commitment. God has answered numerous prayers, thousands and thousands, that George had recorded over the years. The captain rose. With tentative steps, he opened the door. A warm breeze blew in, but the fog was gone. George Mueller also knew with confidence that he'd make it on time to his promised engagement. Not only that, Captain Dutton found faith in God. Captain Dutton retold the story many times as master of the ship, the Sardinian. George Mueller's strong faith hadn't just appeared overnight. Instead, George's faith grew as he prayed. He witnessed God answering again and again and again. George learned to pray for everything, big things and small things alike. Most of George's prayers centered on the orphans that he cared for. The orphanages he established covered 13 acres of ground on Ashley Downs in Bristol, England. George felt God stirring his heart and asking him to build these orphanages. But at the time, George only had 2 shillings, that's 50 cents, in his pocket. George never approached others for money, asking them to support the cause. Instead, he turned to God, reminding God that these were his orphans. God was the father to the fatherless. It was God's work. George never asked any man for money, but over $7 million was sent to him for building the orphan homes and caring for the children. At the time of George's death, the orphanages cared for 2,000 children. And during that time, they never missed setting a meal before the children, not once. George was not raised knowing God. Growing up in Germany, he used to steal money from his father. As a teenager, he snuck out of a hotel twice without paying for the room. One of the times he was caught and taken to jail. George went to Bible college, but that didn't mean he loved God or the Bible. He loved going to bars, drinking, partying, and gambling. One day, when George was in college, a friend invited him to a Bible study. George went so he could make fun of the Christians. But it turned out he liked to study. He saw people who knew and loved God, and he liked what he saw. By the end of the week, George knelt at his bed and asked God to forgive his sins. The first prayer of forgiveness led to many, many prayers being answered, prayers such as the one on the ship, or prayers for the orphans. In his lifetime, George Mueller personally recorded over 50,000 specific prayers that were answered. Because of this, thousands of people have followed his example of faith and prayer, and history was forever changed. In 1 John 5:14, it says, this is the comp. Let's go there. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. I'll run over there myself. First John. Got it? Chapter 5, verse 14. And that reads, and this is the confidence that we have in him. That's God. That if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. George Mueller is an example of this. In his lifetime, George Mueller cared for 10,024 orphans. He established 117 schools, which offered Christian education to over 120,000 children, many of them orphans. George never made requests for financial support, nor did he go into debt. Many times he received unsolicited food donations only hours before they were needed to feed the children, further strengthening his faith in God. For example, on one occasion there was no food in the house, yet George asked the children to sit at the table and give thanks for breakfast. As they finished praying, the baker knocked at the door with enough bread for them all. Then the milkman stopped by with fresh milk because his cart broke down in front of the orphanage. George Mueller wasn't afraid to pray, and because of that, his prayers were answered. Can you imagine what would happen if all of us decided to pray like George Mueller? When it comes to prayer, there's no telling how your life can affect history and the history of those around you. It can change forever. So that's a little bit about George Mueller, and that's what I wanted to share about prayer. He's a great example, and so is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Prayer can definitely change your life like it did George Mueller's and all the people that he prayed for. So thank you and God bless you.